Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
On News Talk.
Ask me anything. Life as a comedian. Jim Elliott, comedian, is with me in studio today. Jim, good afternoon. How are you doing?
Good afternoon, Andrea. How are you?
Not bad at all. Not bad. You're here to tell us about the world of comedy, how difficult, how easy it is to be a comedian. How did you get into this, first of all?
I mean, it was the thing that I loved most as a teenager. Like, I was the kid on the school bus who had fully memorized the entirety of Chris Rock's act and Martin Lawrence act. Martin Lawrence doesn't get enough credit. I think he was as groundbreaking as Chris Rock was, but he hasn't done much recently. But I would just recite them word for word, beat for beat, punchline for punchline, filth for filth, because I got in trouble for doing that at times.
Yeah.
14. And then, like, it kind of never occurred to me that it was a thing you could just do. And then, like, two things happened at once. So I went off to college, come back from college in the States. Everybody comes back and they get together with their high school buddies. Hey, how's it going? Hey, how's it going? Run into my buddy Herbie, who'd gone to college down in Florida. I'm like, how's it going? He's like, I dropped out. I'm a comedian now. And I was like, what? And he goes, yeah, there's all these comedy clubs in the town where I was doing. So I just started doing these open mics and I'm working these shifts and stuff. And that same weekend, I saw that there was in the function room of a hotel in my hometown, the suburb of D.C., had an open mic on Wednesdays. And so after I heard what Herbie had told me, and then I went to the open mic and watched it. And as with any open mic comedy gig, you know, there'll be, this is American open mic. So you sign up, you put your name on a sheet of paper, you get like 3 minutes if they've never heard of you, you'll get 10 if they know who you are. You'll see three or four guys that are good. You'll see two or three guys that are good but are working on new stuff, so it's not quite funny yet. And you'll see five or six unbelievably delusional, unfunny people who are just terrible, just terrible. And when I was watching that, I was like, well, I know I can be better than some of those guys.
Yeah.
If that's the bar, open mic comedy is an open mic. You can just show up and put your name down. So, no, that's not how I got into it. It took me a year and a half to walk around and try to think of bits and try to write jokes that I would say on stage and to summon the nerve to actually go in and put my name down and go, hi, I'm Jim. Can I have three minutes, please? It's terrifying.
Yeah.
And it's incredibly difficult. It's constantly humbling, and it doesn't get any easier. I mean, this happened to me 2 weeks ago, man. I worked on a bit on paper for like a week and a half that I was like, this is a good, solid concept, and I like this punchline, and I like these tags. And I got on stage, and right in the middle of my act that's otherwise going well, I'm like, babada babada, new subject, babada punchline, silence. And I'm like, tag, here's another thing about that I think is funny. Just nothing. Just people just shaking their heads. I'm like, well, I'm wrong. So, you know, hopefully as you get more experience, the ratio of wrong to right in terms of I think this is funny and I can express that, well, you can get better at it, but you'll still take a punch in the mouth every once in a while.
Yeah, I can imagine when you're in the pub, people love to chat to you about script writing, what makes a good joke, what's out of bounds.
Mm-hmm.
It always strikes me as one of those industries that
I love talking about it.
We have this question in from Adriana.
Hi, I have two questions, I suppose. I've always wondered, how do comedians cope with stage fright, and how often do you improvise while on stage?
Great questions.
Okay, those are two good questions. Stage fright, it's kind of table stakes. I mean, if you're the kind of person who is absolutely terrified of the idea of being in front of a crowd, and I have read that that's like one of the number one phobias. It's right up there with fear of flying, is fear of public speaking. I mean, look, I'm not going to say I don't get nervous. I get nervous before every show. Every show I'm antsy and I'm pacing around and I'm kind of irritable and I'm trying to get in my own head and think about stuff. The thing is, you just have to want to do it more than you're afraid of it. Like, I'm thinking back to when I first started and I was doing these terrible open mics in Washington, D.C. And I really wanted to do comedy. I loved stand-up comedy, and the concept of being able to do it was just so attractive to me that the stage fright, I was like, well, I guess I have to deal with that. You just kind of got to swallow it. Stage fright it's a weird thing. You know, my wife is a teacher, and she tells me, like, oh, God, I could never stand up in front of a crowd and talk like that. And I'm like, you do
that it every day
for 8 hours a day in front of the most hostile audience possible, 14-year-old boys who don't want to be there.
And they'll tell you what to think.
Yeah. So, like, I think a lot of people kind of overthink that in their head. Once you're up there, you're so nervous about getting your stupid punchlines right that thinking about the crowd is if you have space in your brain to think about the crowd, you're doing okay.
And what about the ability to improvise?
Okay, that has to be there as well, because it's one of the things that I absolutely love about it, and why it's so much better live than it is on TV. And don't get me wrong, I watch a lot of stand up, I consume a lot of stand up comedy, but my absolute favorite is to go live. It's the same reason live theater is wonderful. You could watch a broadcast of it, but being in the room when that moment is created is what's important.
So is that sort of in the handbook for a good comedy gig, that it's not just you there delivering your sketch, but there's also the interaction with the audience?
Interaction with the audience and the recognition that we are all in this room together and we are experiencing this at the same time. I actually gave that tip to a younger comic 2 or 3 weeks ago. She got off stage and I was like, man, you just went to the microphone, didn't look anybody in the eye, and launched into your first joke. She literally stepped up to the microphone and was like, so I was in the grocery store and blah, 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 blah. That wasn't her joke, but whatever it was. I was like, take a second, walk up, say, you know, look at the people that you can see if the lights aren't too bright, and say, hello, hey, how's it going? All right. And then, you know, recognize that we are in this together, because there has to be some kind of connection.
They're rooting for you. Like, they're paid to come and see you.
They want you to do well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Then if they're paying to come and see you, then you're pretty experienced.
Yeah.
People are actually buying tickets with your name on it. That's one thing. A lot of people are just going to a comedy night, which is an odd thing. It doesn't exist anywhere else. You wouldn't go to a music gig. Hey,
and not know who's. That's a very good point, actually.
On.
Yeah, who's playing?
Yeah, no, who's playing? You wouldn't go to a movie. You'd pick a movie.
We've another question, Jim, from Benjamin.
What would be your advice to someone who wants to leave that day-to-day job to pursue comedy?
I still have my day-to-day job.
Yeah.
I don't know what to tell you. Look, that is the goal, okay? And I'm very conscious of my place sort of in the comedy firmament in Ireland. I guarantee you half of your listeners, probably more of them, you said, I'm going to do Ask Me Anything with Jim Elliot, comedian. And they're going, who the hell is Jim Elliot? I've never heard of that guy. So I know where I'm at, man. I'm at the point now where I've played every festival in Ireland. I work at every comedy club in Ireland. I've been lucky enough the past year and a half, Neil Delamere has brought me on the road with him.
Brilliant,
opening
yeah.
for him and a lot of his big year gigs. I've opened for Deirdre O'Kane, I've opened for Jarlis Regan, and I'm looking at guys like Garrod Farrelly, Chris Kent, Emma Doran, all of whom did the same thing that I'm doing now.
I saw Chris Kent actually in February in the Gaiety.
He's killing it right now.
Great.
Jeez, go see Chris Kent if you get a chance. Go see anybody I'm mentioning if you get a chance. If I'm talking about them, they're good. So I'm trying to build a name for myself. I'm trying to build a little bit of a public consciousness. By the way, if you're listening to this in Cork, I'm doing a solo show June 21st in Collins.
Yeah.
If you're in Dublin, I'm going to be at the Crack Den Comedy Club May 12th to 16th. And this solo show that I'm doing in Cork, I did 7 of these last year too. This is the first time that I've rented out the venue myself
and
put posters up with my stupid face on it and be like, come see me. And I'm trying to see, will people buy tickets to come see Jim Elliot? And if you can do that, 30 weekends out of the year, you can probably quit your day job. Up until then, man, you're going to need a job.
We have another question from Rachel.
What's your biggest inspiration for coming up with new material for your shows?
The biggest inspiration is just this. I mean, I guess you could call, I'm a pretty standard comedian. I'm kind of observational. I just talk about stuff that I see in my life that makes me laugh.
It's the day-to-day stuff, is it?
Stuff that I'm going through or stuff that I've just thought of. So if you're on the bus and you see something weird, like I always have notebooks on me. I always have my notes app is open on my phone with just a concept. I saw a guy doing a weird thing, or you overhear something. Now that's a funny story and you can tell it to somebody in a pub or over dinner and you'll probably get a laugh from that person who knows you. Turning it into material is where the craft comes in. Now you have to figure out, how can I relate this story to a room full of strangers who were not there to see it, and structure it such that you have your setup in the beginning and then some kind of unexpected thing and then a punchline, and then you can twist it and tag it from there.
Like every great story, it is a start, middle, and end. It's as simple as that.
And there's a couple of different techniques that you can use if you want to learn how to hone material better. Like, there's never been a better time to try to do comedy, because there's so many resources in terms of interviews with comics and writers and websites where people just publish their methods.
Yeah.
What you do is, okay, so I've got this story, and sometimes I'll try it on stage and it does not work. I don't know what's going on with it. So then I'll relate it like it actually, like I was the guy that I saw. So I was standing there and this happened to me. Or I was sitting on a bus and this guy told me about his brother and this happened to him.
Yeah.
Because then you can play different characters in the situation and go, what would it be like if that happened to you? What would it be like if you saw that happen to somebody else?
There's a text here, Jim, from a listener who's wondering, are there any topics that are just off limits for you?
The way I think about it, it's like cliff diving. You ever see cliff divers somewhere where they're jumping off something that's like 50 meters high and they're jumping into the water? They know what they're doing, right? So they're really good at doing that, so they're not going to get hurt. You take a common topic and it's like a 1 meter springboard. No matter how bad you mess up, you're not going to hurt yourself.
Yeah.
If you're doing something that people are really sensitive about, I got a chunk in my act right now that's about Israel and Gaza. And that's a tough one.
Yeah.
You don't want to be insensitive to the horror that's going on, but
yeah.
you also want to point out the absurdity of it. That's what I'm trying to do.
Mm.
And so you really have to craft it. If it's a difficult topic, you better work really hard on it or you better get your chops up.
Another voice note in from Nia.
What was the most difficult situation you had to face while being on stage or during an act?
I've never had anybody rush the stage, but I know people who that's happened to.
So hecklers?
Hecklers is one thing. Hecklers is one thing, but there's disinterested hecklers is almost worse. If they're yelling at you, at least they're engaged with the show and you can talk to them a little bit. Sometimes you get up there and the people, I don't know why they come to a comedy gig and they just want to talk to each other. They're just sitting there and the three of them are having a loud conversation.
What do you do actually in a situation? Would you tell them?
Try to interrupt them and go, hey guys, listen, I've worked hard on this stuff. Try to make it funnier than
make
this.
It funny,
but go,
yeah.
look, this is a show. You are ruining it for the people around you. If you really, truly don't want to be here, you can leave. There's a bar right outside if that's what you want to do. But try to bring them in. You don't want to bring them in too much. It's a delicate line. Same with hecklers. Sometimes, and this is the problem with the problem with Irish hecklers. A lot of them are funny. I hate that when I come up there with a punchline and they have a heckle that's funnier than my punchline. But also, they're just trying to be friendly. They're just trying to help. A lot of the heckling I used to get in the States was antagonistic. You suck! That kind of stuff.
Really? Okay.
They're not trying to help. Irish people are just trying to be part of the show. So you can't come with the overhand right and destroy them and make fun of how they look and their mother and all that. You can't be too mean, because then the rest of the audience will go, well, now that was uncalled for. And they'll turn on you. So you really kind of have to be like, okay, cool, recognize what they said. Hopefully you're quick enough to come back with something funny and move on. Sometimes somebody really wants to talk. You get up on stage and there's a guy sitting right over here. You can tell he's drunk. He's trying to make too much eye contact with you. He really wants to be part of the show. I'll just deliver my set to the left side of the room. I'm not even going to acknowledge him. I'm not even going to get into it with him. But it's a delicate one, man. You got to know what you're doing.
We have another voice note from Lizzie.
So I just wanted to ask, how did you get your friends or family to be supportive of your career as a comedian?
I didn't tell anybody I was doing it for the first year.
If that,
so, oh no. Oh no, 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 no,
no. No, no,
nope. I told my parents I was going to my buddy Robert's. I told Robert I was hanging out with Sammy. I didn't tell Sammy anything.
Yeah.
And I did that for a full year and nobody knew where I was. And I was going out 5 nights a week to these open mics because I didn't want to embarrass myself, because I knew that my friends would want to come see me.
Of course.
I wanted to be good enough to know that, like, okay, I have three or four bits that actually work, and I can start telling people about my shows to come see me. Right now, I want everybody to come see me. I'm really proud of what I'm putting out there. Jim Elliot Comedy on every social media platform. Jesus, I'm going to keep saying that.
Why not?
To get your family to be supportive, your family's just worried. Like, there's nothing a mother wants to hear less than a kid who says, I would like to pursue a career in the arts. It's not that they're not supportive of your creative impulse.
No.
They're thinking, how the hell is he going to pay rent?
And they know, probably particularly in today's world, how, you know, easy it is to be heckled and face the onslaught of social media,
they
you
want
know,
you to be
and all that comes with that.
They don't want
that.
You to get picked on. So as long as you can convince them that you know what you're doing, that you're not going to be financially irresponsible or destitute, and that, look, this is something you really want to do, people
tend
are supportive.
To support. Yeah. We have another voice though from Rory.
Hi, Jim. When it comes to crossing the line in comedy, I was just wondering, is it worth doing? What's the risk reward there? And how has it changed over the years? Thank you.
How bad do you want to do the joke, man? That's really what it's up to. Like, there is stuff that you will catch flack for.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to make fun of something that people really like or care about, you just got to be willing to do it. Or if you're not willing to do it, that's fine, too. There's nothing there. You don't get extra bonus points for being edgy or trying to make a point. That question about how has this changed over time, I can't stand people who say you can't say anything anymore. You can say whatever you want.
Can you, though?
Yes, you can. You can do anything.
So it's how you deliver it.
There's an episode of Always Sunny where they all turned black for an episode. So everybody, you know, if they're saying, oh, you can't make fun of certain races, you can't make fun of certain religions. Yeah, you can. You just got to be good at it. And it's always been the case, man. This has always been the case. Lenny Bruce spent a week in jail after every show he did, one full tour in the U.S. because of what he was saying about religion. So did George Carlin. So look, man, this is the game. People have their... Jerry Seinfeld had a great metaphor about this, about like, okay, the culture, the gates move about what is acceptable to talk about.
Yeah.
But that's our job. If you take a professional skier, they move the gates on every run. You got to make the gate. That's your job. You're the professional skier.
You have to find a way.
So figure it out.
Listen, it's been a real pleasure. Thanks a million for coming in.
It's been a pleasure coming in. Thank you very much.
It's a fascinating career. I think it takes great guts to do it, Jim, in fairness.
Especially when you're a stupid hack like me with no material.
Not at all. No, it is.
It's so much fun to do. It's absolutely my favorite art form. Please, if no matter where you live in Ireland, look at Irish Comedy Guide or just Google your town and comedy night. Support the... I'm
in Dublin.
Cork on the 21st of June. Dublin, May 12th through 16th. JimElliottComedy.com. Support live comedy, people. Go see a comedy night. You'll have a good time.
Yeah, well, look, there's some maybe last-minute plans for people over the bank holiday weekend.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.